Yay. Yeah, so I have heard periodically from Pastor AJ and Miss Brittany, and they're apparently in a house with a swimming pool, but it's inside, like it's indoors, but it's in a glass enclosure. So AJ is swimming in the pool in the middle of the hurricane. I know.
He's getting used to the water.
My response to that was simply, please don't die.
He could do that.
I know, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Wow. Well, yeah, yeah. All right, so from what I hear, you guys have been going through the Sermon on the Mount, and obviously it's one of the more important passages. Jesus is preaching to multitudes. It goes on for a couple of chapters. It's important because it covers a huge range of topics. I mean, just about anything, really, that you could think of. Although we're, you know, some 2,000 years almost later after this has been done, it's still relevant today because even though we have all kinds of changes in our lives, you know, between technology and lifestyles and all this other stuff, people inherently do not change. We still face the same struggles today that they did then because even though we might, you know, we might not have in some ways the same kind of things where, you know, they were kind of, you know, they might have been concerned with whether they were going to have a good harvest or whether, you know, there were going to be enough fish to catch. You know, we still have some of those same problems, though, because we might be more concerned with, instead of that piece of it, maybe in your guys' case, you know, maybe your parents' jobs, because that would obviously affect you. And sometimes, you know, people, things change and people lose their jobs. In fact, two people within the church just found out that they're going to be losing their job within a couple of months. So, you know, you've got those kind of things. You've got social type of problems where, you know, I understand, you know, everybody wants to be accepted. People want to have friends. People want to be liked. I have never once heard anyone with real sincerity, you know, they might have been trying to play or trying to put up a big front, but I've never heard anyone once say, I want everyone to hate me. Nobody wants that. Not in reality, okay? They might say that, they might act that way, but deep down in here, way back up in here, that's not true. People want to be liked. They wanted to be liked back then, too. They wanted to feel special. They wanted to feel unique. They wanted to feel accepted. You know, and so that's the same kind of things that we deal with today, and that's one of the things that you know, Jesus made sure to push on everybody is that God loves us for who we are. That doesn't always mean that we need to stay who we are, and we might get into that here in a few minutes. But God loves everybody, okay? So we are accepted, we are loved, at least by Him, even if by no one else, because Lord knows I don't like some of you. I'm just kidding. Quinn's pushing, though. Yes, seriously. Like all of you except for Quinn. I like all of you except for Quinn.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
I relate. Retweet.
So, no. And you cannot quote me on that. No.
I love you, Dad. Sorry.
All right, so we're going to carry on here. We're going to pick up where Pastor AJ left off. Matthew chapter 6, if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you, if you have a Bible with you, if you have it on your phone, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start reading in verse 16. So Jesus has gone through a few things here and kind of left off with the model prayer, and I'm sure that Pastor AJ went over this, but you're going to hear the model prayer quite a bit, you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that type of thing. That's not the prayer that we should pray continuously. Okay, not those exact words. It's a model, okay? It's a format of how we should pray. So he's left off there, and we're going to pick up on something that probably, I'm going to say that none of you have ever done. Maybe you have, I don't know. But none of you, I'm guessing, have ever done. But it's something that was pretty prevalent back then and something we can still do today. So let's start off here. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start looking in verse 16. It says, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." So fasting, just raise your hand. I don't need to hear anything, but raise your hand if you know what fasting is. Okay, good. Fasting, a couple of you didn't raise your hand, so I'll elaborate here. Fasting is where you don't eat. Like you set aside a specific period of time and you say, I'm not going to eat anything. Sometimes even I'm not going to drink anything for a certain period of time. And the reason that you're doing that can, it can range, but for the most part, it is a sacrifice that you are making so that you can get closer to God. You are showing him that you mean business, that you are serious about your devotion to him by denying yourself the thing that you want, the thing that even you need, because you know, obviously, we need to eat. So it was a way to reflect spiritually. Now, what people had done, when he's talking here about the hypocrites that are fasting, what they would do is that, and I'm sure that none of you have ever, ever over-dramatized anything in your life.
Not at all.
No. They would fast. Okay, so and what they would do is they would deny themselves food. You know, they actually legitimately fasted, but then they would make a big deal out of it. Like, oh.
I get angry sometimes.
Yeah.
Angry.
I'm fasting. It's so hard, but you know what? I'm willing to make this sacrifice because that's how holy I am. That was the kind of thing that they were doing. You know, and they would, you know, like, get their faces all messed up, like the beards all.
Whoa!
You look like George Custer.
You know, they would get all messed up and all just out of sorts, and they would look terrible, but they would do that so that everyone around them would think, oh, they're suffering so bad because they love the Lord so much. And Jesus said, that's nonsense. They're not doing it for the right reason. They're doing it for the glory that they are receiving. And okay, so here's the thing, guys. Some of you, well, let me ask you this question. Have any of you ever done a fast? Awesome. Very good. And I know. Now look at me, okay? You would think there's no way that this dude up here could fast, but I have. Now, mine was I tend to stick with the food fast. I would drink water during that time just because, like Brady said, I get hangry and it ain't pretty. But now some of you have not, and that's, you know, that's fine. That's, you don't have to do it, but there's still things that we will do, that we can do for God, for the church, for the youth group, for any other particular reason, but we're not doing it because we want to serve. We're doing it because we want people to see what we are doing. You can turn on your TV to a few different stations. You can walk down the book aisle at whatever store you go to, and you're going to see people with, you know, like the nice suit and the big smile and the white teeth and the perfect hair, telling you exactly what God has for you and how he wants you to be happy and wealthy and prosperous and all this other stuff. First of all, the things that they're preaching are not in accordance with what the Bible says. The Bible says that if you want to live righteously, you're going to suffer, not prosper. But they're not doing it because they want to help you. They're doing it for their own glorification. They're doing it because they want people to see them and see what they're doing and go, hey, that's awesome. I know that guy. That's amazing. He's doing such a great thing. They want it for the uplifting. They want to be glorified by people, not by God. So maybe we just talked about ways that you can serve. Bless you, I think. That was you, unless that was a mouse that was over here somewhere. We just talked about a bunch of different ways that you could serve. Okay, the Heritage Festival, helping with parking. There's a few other things. There's the hog roast coming up. Maybe you want to bring some food for that, because Lord knows I am not fasting that day. We got that hog roast. They're going to have to carry me out of here on a stretcher. And it better be a stretcher made out of bacon. Because once I get where I'm going, I'm going to turn around and eat that thing too. So, hey, listen up. So, there's plenty of ways for you to serve, and I want you to do that. And I know that all the other sponsors, Pastor AJ, we want you to sign up and serve. But my question to you is, if you decide to do that, are you doing it because you want to help out the church, because you want to help out the youth group, because you want to help out the people, or because you want people to see you serving? Most of you, if you halfway pay attention, know that I play music typically every Sunday. I love doing that. That's one of my favorite things, one of my favorite ways to serve. But let me tell you something. One of the things that I struggle with a lot is doing that, because it's a very fine line for me. It's very thin for being able to serve, to help everyone else in their worship experience, and doing it just because I want people to come up to me after service and say, "Wow, you're awesome." It's really, that's one of the things that I struggle with, okay? God gave me my talents. I'm dedicated to giving them back to Him, but the question is, why am I doing it? Is it because I want to do, because I want to do it, because I want to give them back to Him, or because I want people to look at me and say, "Wow, that's amazing, look at what He can do"? That's something that I struggle with. Same kind of thing here. Same thing that you're going to struggle with when you decide to serve the Lord. But don't let that discourage you. I'm just saying, I'm going to warn you, that's something that you might struggle with. But that should not keep you from doing it. Because you kind of have a path here. You got two different ways to go, okay? You can choose to ignore what God is calling you to do, and that's a sin. Or you can do it. Let me backtrack for a second. You can choose not to do it because you know it's going to be a struggle, because you know it's going to be hard. Or you can choose to do it, and then a little ways down the line, you're going to have to decide whether you want to do it because it's what God called you to do, or whether you want to do it because people are going to see you doing it. No one can make those decisions but yourself. Fasting, kind of to get a little bit back to where we were, fasting can still be used today, and I would encourage you to explore that. Study up on it, because truthfully, it is an awesome tool. Because when you're not thinking about food, when you're not thinking about some of the other things, it kind of helps you look inside a little bit more. You'd understand when you do it, but I would encourage you to at least give it a shot. You know, it doesn't have to be an all-day thing. I'm going to skip breakfast so that I can spend more time focusing on God. I'm going to skip lunch, skip dinner, whatever, you know, or all day, whatever. But here's the thing. Don't make your devotion to whatever it is the focus. Make the one that you are devoted to the focus. You see, because we live in a world today where it is cool to glorify yourself. Oh, whatever, no. Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat. I have one word for you. Selfie. That's exactly how I say it every single time, too. It's not okay. Seriously, that's the world that we live in. People want to take, it's all the focus is about me. It's about this person right here. I'm taking pictures of myself all the time. Look at what I'm doing. Look at what I can do. Look at the people that I'm with. Look at what I'm eating. Look at where I'm going. All these things, guys. And it's all such a selfish focus. And then on top of that, you know, you get the likes and you get the hearts and whatever people do on Snapchat. I have no idea. I never really got into it. That's it. I don't. That's the on the Instagram. They have the heart. It's still a like. It's still a like, but it's a heart. So, but anyways, those types of things. And you know what? I'm the same way. You know, when I think of something funny or something ridiculous happens, you know, Elijah opens up his mouth and says something crazy. It happens occasionally, and I got to put it on Facebook. And you know what? Like 5 minutes later, I'm on Facebook again going, how many likes has that already gotten? Like really, that's, and I don't even think about it at this point. It's just like, ooh, okay, who's liked it? Who's commented on it? Because it feeds into my pride. When we think about pride as a sin, because we know that pride is a sin, Bible tells us that all over the place. When we think about pride, we think about typically people, you know, the puffed out chest and all ego and macho and, you know, caveman type of thing. But pride is such a sneaky sin. We don't realize it. Pride takes so many forms. When we start putting the opinions of others in front of the Word of God, you know that's pride? Well, how is that? That's focusing on other people. Because we're more concerned with what other people think of us than we are with what God thinks of us. And all the focus is on us. So Jesus says, when you are serving, he mentions fasting because that was something that they were doing a lot, but in other places he talks about other things. Make the focus on God. He says, don't go around acting like you're miserable. Don't even let anybody know. Make that something private between you and God. Not because you're ashamed of it, okay? That's not what he's talking about. He's saying, so that it's something between you and God and no one else. It is something that the two of you share. It's not about you. It's about him. It's about your relationship with him, your devotion to him, your service to him. Let's move on. Same chapter, verse 19. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That last verse, that's one of my favorite verses. I absolutely love that. And it's weird. Like, it's a weirdly phrased verse. But I think there's a reason for it. We'll get to it in a second here. But the things of earth, he says, will fade away. And again, kind of going back to the world that we live in now, I mean, it wasn't that different then in that capacity, because people still placed emphasis on clothes, on goods, you know, the things that they had, on money. Back then, it was, you know, so-and-so was rich. They had this many different changes of clothes. They had this many, you know, sheep, this many camels. They had this big of a house. They had so much gold, so much silver, so many, you know, all this stuff. And I mean, these are things that are in the Bible that it talks about. That was what people wanted. Guess what? Today, people still want money. It's a status symbol. But let me tell you something. As most of you are aware, if you've ever had money, like any type of money at all, suddenly, poof, it's gone. It stinks, especially when you start having to pay bills. I hear a few of you. Yep. You know. The things of earth will fade and decay. How many of you, let's see. Anybody still have an iPhone 5? Or a 4?
Can it be a Samsung?
Samsung, doesn't matter. Something that is not the latest and greatest. You know, maybe one or two generations back. Okay. There was a time, as you know, listen, hey, focus. I know, I talk about phones and suddenly everyone, oh, he talked about my phone. I can get it out. No.
I will take it.
There was a time not that long ago, like maybe 1 or 2 years ago, where that was the latest and greatest technology.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you tell people that's what you have and they're like, I'm sorry. You know why? Because things change. Suddenly, okay. You know what's going to happen to that phone probably in another few years? It's going to break. It's going to die. Because, listen, hey, because things break. Things fade away. I had my very first car. I love that car. Okay? It was great. It was way used when I got it. Okay, I'm not quite this old. I had a 1989 Chevy Beretta. This was in the late 90s that I had it. Okay, it was cool. It was black. It had tinted windows. And okay, it had a little four-cylinder engine in it, but that thing would get up and move. It was amazing. I love that car. You know what happened to it eventually? It died. The engine, and here's the thing that killed me. The engine was still perfect. The engine ran great, but the body fell apart. Yeah, I know. It was terrible. You know why? Because nothing lasts. Things here fade away. They break. They get lost. They get destroyed. That's why Jesus says right here in this passage, don't store your treasures here. Okay, and before you get, some of you are not even thinking this, but I know some of you probably are. Before you start thinking that Jesus is saying don't plan for the future, you know, you hear people talking a lot about, you know, you need to start planning for your retirement early, 401ks, IRAs, you know, all that stuff, putting money aside for college. That's not what he's talking about, okay? He's talking about placing importance on the things of the world because they change. They go away. They get stolen. Anybody ever have your phone stolen?
No.
It stinks.
No.
Nothing you can do about it, though. Hey, listen. He says, don't place more importance on the things of this world than you do on your own soul. Because your phone's going to break. Your car's going to die. Okay, your bicycle's going to get stolen. Whatever, your video game systems, they're going to break down. Whatever it may be, it will die. It will go away. But you know what's not going to go away? You know what's not going to break? Your soul and where it's going to spend eternity. Because let me tell you something, guys. Hey, you're going to wish that your soul would break and be destroyed if you spend eternity in hell. But it's not going to happen. He says, store your treasures in heaven. Do your work here so that you can get rewards there. Because nothing goes away in heaven. You got it forever. It's perfect. I love this last verse. Like I said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now you think about this verse, and usually what people would say is, you know, where your heart is, that's what you treasure, right? No. He's saying it in reverse, and I think the reason is because we have a choice of what we treasure. We have a choice of what is most important to us. You need to decide. You need to make a conscious decision. What is most important to me? What am I going to spend my time focusing on? And then we got the last part here, and we'll be done. No one can serve two masters, verse 24, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is another word for money, monetary goods, things, material goods of the world. What is your focus on? Is it on earthly things? Is it on heavenly things? Because ultimately, you have to decide what is more important to you. Is it the world? Is it tech? Is it stuff? Is it, you know, the accolades, the worship of the world? Or is it going to be the love and adoration of God? I can guarantee you, you start looking through probably the top, let's say 50 people on Instagram. Let's just go that direction. The people that have the most followers. How many of them do you think are legitimate followers of God? And I say legitimate, okay, not people that are, you know, pay him lip service, that are, you know, posting a Bible verse in one picture, and then in the next picture, they're posting a something about cussing out someone. Okay, that's not... Well, you know, yeah, sure. Because, yeah, you can post about, you know, cussing people out on Instagram because you post a picture of, oh, this is so-and-so, and here's what they did to me, blah, 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 and, you know, but... It's I know, it's Connor. It's all Connor. You've got to decide, guys. All right, hey. Focus. Now, what do these three things all have in common? We talked about fasting. We talked about treasures. We talked about money. All of it has to do with one thing. You have to make a decision with all of these about whether you're going to serve yourself or whether you're going to serve God. Because what it boils down to is that you can't do both. To love God, to serve Him, is going to be a life of self-denial. You can't do everything that you want. Because what the Bible says is that the heart, this thing right here, and not just this thing, but this part up here, it's wicked. It's sinful. It will lead you astray. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, I better see every single hand up, just follow your heart? Raise your hand. I know you. You just heard it.
Okay.
That was a good one.
Let me tell you something about that. Let me tell you something about that phrase. That is the dumbest thing that anyone has ever said.
Well, stop saying it.
I'm not telling you. And the reason is for that is that exact thing. The Bible says that the heart is wicked. It is sinful. Okay. You want me to prove that? Let's pause here for a second and I can prove that to you. How many of you have ever had a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a best friend or anybody that you look back on and you think, what in the world was I thinking?
Yep. Yes.
Almost. Or maybe in Connor's case, maybe you've had a haircut and you look. I just look back there and his hair is all like, you know, all messed up. Listen, hey. But that right there proves to you, at the time you thought, this is great. This is exactly what I want. This is the right decision. Guys, at the time that's what you thought. You thought, this is exactly what I should be doing. And then you look back on it and you think, really? Don't follow your heart. Read the Bible.
Well, the Bible's not going to tell me who I should date.
No, but it is going to tell you the type of person that you should date. Are they saved? well, no. But I can be a good influence. Then you have no business being with them. Because the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked together.
I can be good for them. I can lift them up.
No. Because take it from experience, you will not lift them up. They will drag you down. Every single time. Yeah, I wrote a note to myself on my wrist so I wouldn't forget something. It says gear. It says gear because I left my instruments and stuff over there. I got to remember to take it home tonight. But that's beside the point. Focus. Focus. You've got to make a decision about who you're going to serve, and no one else can make that choice for you. I know, you know, we've got all kinds of age ranges in here from 12 all the way up to probably 18, 19. I'm not talking about sponsors. 17, 16. Anyways, 18. You just turned 18, right? Okay, so listen, hey. Most of you are still at an age where your parents make at least some of the decisions for you, if not, in some cases, a lot of them. They can't make this decision for you. No one can. You have to decide. Just like they can't make the decision as to whether or not you're going to accept Christ as your Savior. They can't make the decision for you about who you're going to serve in your life. That's a decision that you have to make, and it's something that you should take very, very seriously, because you can't go back. And what I mean by that is you can't change the past. Guys, there are so many things. I look back on my life, and if I could go back to when I was any of your ages, so many things that I would change, because I was stupid. I was thinking about myself. I was thinking about what would make me happy. Not about what the Bible says. Not about what would make God happy. What would make me happy. That's all I cared about at the time. And it was dumb. And I know probably there's at least one of you out there thinking, well, you don't think, doesn't look like things turned out too bad for you. And no, they didn't. You know why? Because at some point I realized that I was being an ignorant moron. And I turned around and I said, God, I was stupid. I need you to fix this. But what else the Bible says is that to obey is better than to sacrifice. So it's better to get it right the first time than to have God come back and try to fix it. Picture, we'll close with this. Picture your life like, say, a flower vase, okay? And it's nice and it's pretty and it's complete, however you want. I don't care what color it is. I don't care what flowers are in it. That's not the point. We're going to pick it up. We drop it. And it shatters. Maybe it falls. Maybe it breaks into 3 pieces. Maybe it breaks into 1,000. I don't know. But somebody done messed up. And now it's in a mess. So then you come along. And you realize, oh man, what have I done? And you say, Lord, I need your help fixing this. And so because he's God, and because he loves you, and because he wants what's best for you, he picks up all the pieces, and he glues it back together. And he puts it back. And it's pretty again. But it's still got all kinds of cracks. And now it's not as pretty as it was. Now maybe it doesn't quite fit the same way that it used to. Yeah, sure, it still serves a purpose. It still does the exact same thing, but it's not as good as it once was. That's why it's better for you to stop and to think before you act. To pray about every decision in your life. Because, yes, God can fix things, but number one, if he has to fix them, they're not going to be as good as what they used to be. And number two, and I'm deadly serious when I talk about this, when I say for a fact that you may not live long enough to get forgiveness for it. well, yeah, I can go out and I can do this. I can go drinking with my friends, or I can get drunk and drive, and or ride with one of my friends who's been drinking, and I'll just ask for forgiveness later. Not if your head is through a telephone pole. Some decisions you can't come back from. So think, is what I'm about to do going to serve God? Is it going to honor Him? Is it what He wants me to do? Or is it just simply because I want to do it? We've got three different circumstances here where that is the ultimate message that Christ is trying to get across to these people. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for everything. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for the Sermon on the Mount and just how much it means to us, how important it is, how many wonderful things that we can learn from it. Father, we just ask You tonight, forgive us where we have failed You. Forgive us for the sins that we've committed, for the bad decisions that we've made, for being selfish, for focusing on ourselves and not thinking about You. Help us, all of us, Lord, because we're all guilty of it. Help us to turn that part around, to not continue to live like that, but to be devoted to You, to leave our focus on You, to make the decisions that You want us to make, because You know everything, You know it all, You know every single circumstance, every possibility, and You want us to be happy. You want us to be safe. You want us to make the right choices, Father. Help us to remember that. Help us to focus on You, to hide these things in our heart, and to learn and grow closer to You because of it. Have Your will in everything and every aspect of our lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.